Masechet Baba Kama Perek Zayin Mishnah Bet. We're talking about the Tashlume Arba'a V'Hamisha, the penalty of 4 times or 5-time payment if a person steals a sheep or a goat and slaughters and sells it, or he steals a ox and slaughters and sells it. He would have to pay 4 times for the sheep and the goat and 5 times the value for the ox. We'll elaborate on more laws in terms of those dinim. Mishnah says, Ganav al pi shenayim v'tabach u'machar al pihem o al pi shenayim acharim mishalem tashlume arba'a v'hamisha. We start off with a din that says if somebody stole a ox or a sheep and 2 witnesses saw him, and then when he slaughtered or sold the animal, either those same witnesses or other witnesses saw the sale, they pay arba'a v'hamisha. They pay the fine. It doesn't matter that it was the same witnesses who saw the 2 different components of the sin that they did, the theft and then the selling or the slaughtering, or if it was same witnesses or different witnesses. It all doesn't matter. Regardless, the testimony of these different sets of witnesses could come together and stand. Mishnah continues, and it lists all different cases where one would think that the 4 or 5 payment doesn't actually happen, but we'll say that the Hiddush is it does happen in all of these cases. Ganav u'machar b'Shabbat. If somebody stole a ox and a sheep and then sold it on Shabbat, we know the halachic principle of kimle b'drabamine, that if we have 2 different punishments, one more severe and one lighter, that happened because of the same action, the lighter punishment falls away and only the more severe punishment stays. So we would think that halacha applies over here. A person violated Shabbat. He took the animal and he sold it on Shabbat. So we would think that the arba'a v'hamisha payment shouldn't exist because he violated Shabbat. So what we're saying over here is no, the 4 or 5 time payment does stay because we're only talking about mechira on Shabbat. We're only talking about selling it on Shabbat, which is asur derabanan. So therefore, since it's only an isur derabanan, the 4 or 5 time payment, which is biblical, stays. But that's only talking about if he stole it and sold it on Shabbat. But if he stole it and slaughtered it on Shabbat, which is the other way of actualizing the 4 or 5 time payment, if he slaughtered it on Shabbat, then the 4 or 5 time payment wouldn't apply because there you have hayuv mitah. You have the person is who slaughtered it here is punishable by death, and therefore that would be the punishment that stays. That's the more severe one, and the 4 or 5 time fine payment would fall away because that's the lesser punishment. Ganav u'machar la'avodah zarah. If a person stole a ox or a sheep and sold it for the purposes of avodah zarah, we'll say that he still has to pay the 4 or 5 time payment. There's no concept of kim lebed rabamine because there's no severe punishment for selling for avodah zarah. Even though it's a isur deoraita, biblical prohibition, it doesn't have a severe punishment, so therefore the 4 or 5 time payment would stay. Ganav v'tabach b'yom kippurim. Well, let's say he stole an ox or a sheep and he slaughtered it on Yom Kippur. According to the opinion of this Tana, you'd still have the 4 or 5 time payment because slaughtering on Yom Kippur is karet. And they say that kimle bedrabamine, if you have 2 punishments that arrive at the same time, only the more severe one stays. That's only talking about types of punishments that are imposed by a bet din, not one that's karet in the shamayim. So you still have the 4 or 5 time payment, and the person is karet in the shamayim for violating Yom Kippur. So they would say that a person is karet for violating Yom Kippur, different than the hilul of Shabbat, which is hayuv mitah bide adam. The bet din would put him to death. Yom Kippur in this situation would not be like that. Ganav mishel aviv. Let's say a person stole from his father an ox or a sheep, then he slaughtered it or sold it, and then his father died afterwards, the 4 or 5 time payment would still apply because it was his father's the whole time when he stole it and when he slaughtered it or sold it. And then his father died afterwards. If the father died after the theft, but before the slaughtering or the selling, since the son here, we're talking about his son who stole, is an heir. So he technically owns a portion of that animal that he originally stole, but right now it fell to him in a Yerusha, it fell to him in inheritance. So therefore, once he sells it or slaughters it, he would not be hayav the 4 or 5 time payment because it's his. It's his own animal. It's partially his animal at the time that the slaughter happened, so therefore it wouldn't apply. Ganave tabach ve'harkach hekdish. If he stole an ox or a sheep and slaughtered it, and then afterwards he dedicated it to the Beit HaMikdash, in that case the 4 or 5 time payment would still apply, because we would say that when he stole it and when he slaughtered it, it was the possession of the person who originally owned it. And he dedicated it to the Beit HaMikdash afterwards. Ah, but if he, let's say he stole it and then it was donated to the Beit HaMikdash and then he slaughtered it or sold it, at that point in time, or really he only slaughtered it over there, can't really dedicate it, you can't really sell it because it's property of the Beit HaMikdash. So let's say over there he stole it and then he was makdish the animal, he dedicated it to the Beit HaMikdash and then it got slaughtered afterwards. In that case, the 4 or 5 time payment would not apply, because it's not the property of the owner when the slaughter happened. That's what we say in all these cases. All them mishalem tashlumeh arba'a v'hamisha. In all these cases, he has to pay the 4 or 5 time payment, like we've explained, case by case. Ganav v'tabach lirfu'a. If a person stole an ox or a sheep, and he slaughtered it, but he slaughtered it for the purposes of medicine. He needed the food in order to heal himself, but he didn't want the actual food itself as a good meal. He wanted it to cure himself in some way. All the klavim, or he slaughtered it, and he wanted to feed the meat to the dogs. If he slaughtered it and then he found that it was a terefa, that it was an animal that wasn't going to live out the year, and therefore he's not allowed to eat that type of animal. If he slaughtered a non-consecrated animal in the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash, when you do that, you make the animal forbidden for consumption or to have any benefit from. In all of these cases, meshalem tashlumei arba'a v'hamisha, you pay the 4 or 5 time payment. Even though in these cases, the shechita that was being done didn't enable the food to be eaten by the person, either because of his kavanah, when he had the kavanah to slaughter it, he wasn't doing it for his own enjoyment, he was doing it for medicine, or he was doing it for the dogs in the first 2 cases. In the last 2 cases, it wasn't edible. The food was not kosher, either because it was a terefa, or because it was slaughtered in the azara, courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash, so he couldn't eat it. So even though a person may think that the shechita that the Torah talks about, when it says that if you stole and then slaughtered, that's when you have arba'a v'hamisha payments, you may think that's only if it's fit to be eaten. Kamash malan, what this Mishnah is telling us is no, that it's still considered to be an act of shechita, and the 4 or 5 time payment still applies, even though a person may not eat it. Shechita is defined as slaughter. It doesn't matter if it's there being done for the purposes of eating or not. But Rabbi Shimon is going to disagree. Rabbi Shimon poter b'shnei elu. Rabbi Shimon, in the last 2 cases, says that the 4 or 5 time payment would not apply, because according to Rabbi Shimon, in those last 2 cases, which is the person who slaughtered the animal and found that it was not kosher because it was a terefa, or he slaughtered a regular animal that he stole that was holin, he slaughtered it in the azara, and therefore it became forbidden to be eaten, because according to him, the definition of shechita is that the meat has the ability to be consumed by the person who's eating it. So according to Rabbi Shimon, since in those 2 cases it's not edible because it's not kosher, so therefore that's not the definition of shechita. But the first 2 cases where he stole it and he wanted to use it for medicine, or he stole it and he slaughtered it for the purposes of giving it to the dogs, that's still shechita. He chooses to do something else with it, but the fact is he slaughtered meat that could be eaten by him, so therefore it is a form of shechita, and that's what Rabbi Shimon only disagrees on the second 2 cases and not on the first 2 cases.